Do you know that about one in every three people in the United States listen to at least one podcast every month? That's millions of people listening. And do you also know that every month, thousands of podcast listeners listen to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast? Well, do you have a business, service, or event that you would love others to hear about? Then look no further. To promote your services on the podcast, send an email to talesbydrozy@gmail.com today. Or you can visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. Hi guys, welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America. My name is Ozzy. Today we have a little bit of motivational episode prepared for you guys. Today I'm talking to a wonderful young lady whose story really inspired me, and I thought that you guys just really needed to get a chance to hear the story. Welcome, Amanola.
Thank you, Dr. Ozzy, for having me.
You're welcome. So we kind of met on Instagram. I remember when I initially started my podcast, you know, I'll put a post on Instagram and you would always like my post, comment, give me feedback. I remember one day I noticed that you put up graduation pictures and I was kind of congratulating you about graduating, and then you shared a really inspiring story with me, and I thought, oh my, you have to share that with everyone else, you know. So that's really what we're gonna be sharing with everyone today. But before we go into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, my name is Esther Omolola Atolani, and I am from Osun State in Nigeria. Grew up in Lagos and went to school in Lagos for my secondary school, Model College, Bokuta. And then I went to Ebenezer University where I studied computer science.
Okay. So why did you decide to go to Ebenezer? Was it like a family school where everyone else had gone to, or was it just your first choice?
Actually, it wasn't my first choice. When I did my jump, I paid University of Port Harcourt and I think it was Kangana. I remember I got admissions to both schools, but at that time I think there was some crisis going on in Port Harcourt and Covenant. Honestly, when I went to Covenant, I was like, oh my goodness, this looked like a prison to me.
So for the benefit of those who don't know what JAM is kind of like the SATs, right?
Yes.
Okay, you took that and you kind of decided by elimination to go with Ebenezer, right?
Yeah, Ebenezer, mostly because I had three cousins in Ebenezer, and I was very young when I got into uni, so my parents felt like, you know, it's a good place since I had older cousins in school. So
okay, awesome. And you mentioned that you studied computer science. So what was the motivation behind studying computer science?
Yeah, so after I left secondary school, I was waiting for admission and all of that, and my parents decided to enroll me in this, you know, computer school. And that's when I started getting fascinated with computers, networking, and just anything that had to do with computer science. And at that time, I didn't even know what I was getting into, but I was just fascinated. I was like, oh, you know what? I want to study computer science.
How was studying at Ebenezer? So where is Ebenezer? Is it in Delta State?
No, it's in Edo State.
Edo State, okay. So what was it like? What was your experience on campus like?
My experience on campus, mixed feelings. Mm-hmm. Because on one hand, I enjoyed, you know, some parts of school. And on the other hand, it was very tough because Ebenezer, I don't know if you know about the school, but it's a school where you have governor's children, senator's children, and the lifestyle was kind of lavish and wild.
Oh, wow.
And me, on the other hand, very young, from a very humble background, it was kind of being thrown into something entirely different. It was hard to cope. I tried so much to fit in, and that wasted a lot of my time. Trust me, it was hard.
So did you experience like peer pressure?
Yes, everybody in school had a car. Everybody in school had a car. And, you know, it was hard because I was like, man, these people's parents must have money.
Right.
Get this, every one of my siblings went to like regular schools. They didn't go to a private uni. It was like, you know, I was the only one who had the privilege of going to a private uni. So it was so hard seeing people just living this lavish lifestyle. I had to manage my provisions, manage my pocket money.
Right.
It was hard. And I think another thing, a lot of people in school had this, you know, go to clubs every day. I wasn't used to that lifestyle.
Right.
I had roommates who would try to force me to go to clubs, to drink and smoke, but it was very weird to me.
That's interesting. You mentioned that your other siblings went to government schools and, you know, federal schools that weren't as expensive. So what is your position in the family? Are you the last child?
Yes, I am the last child.
So you got better treatment.
Yes, and, you know, it's funny because my immediate sibling, my immediate older sister is 6 years older than me. So there was this really huge gap. I wasn't close to my siblings when I was younger because, you know, they were already like really grown up when I was still a child. So, yeah.
I can totally relate with that. You know, I also have older siblings and there's the gap too. You know, eventually you guys catch up at some point, but growing up, it's like a problem because, you know, they're way ahead of you. Yeah.
Okay. I used to feel very jealous whenever my two elder sisters were having conversations and they didn't involve me.
And the funny thing is they would never want you to like butt in because they're like, this is senior conversation. You have no.
Yes. I totally understand.
So you mentioned that school itself was a struggle. So tell me a little bit more about that.
So as I said, I just wanted to study computer science. I didn't know what I was getting into. I mean,
it was a bit difficult because my older siblings did different things, business, economics, law. And my parents never went to school. So I didn't particularly have any direction, so to speak, when I was getting into school. So my first semester was a disaster, I'll tell you. It was like I had so many F's I could spell my first name.
But I'm sure it wasn't funny back then.
Trust me, it was not funny back then. I panicked. It was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing?
Right.
So school, understanding the courses, it was a struggle. I went to a public secondary school. So the science school wasn't like a lot. We didn't do a lot of practical.
Right.
Jumping into computer science was just, it was
a recipe for disaster. I understand. Okay, so you mentioned that you got a whole lot of F's. You know, people don't understand the importance of the first year in college. You know, it's very easy to play it away. And, you know, that actually really, really counts to your final GPA, right? But people don't realize that. People realize that in the final year, and they're trying to make up for all that lost time, but it's super difficult. It's very difficult.
And that happened to me too. So I didn't start to redeem myself until I was in 300 level. And it was so hard trying to get back the good grades. I was just far gone. It was difficult. I tried everything I could, but I ended up graduating with a third class. And, you know, that kind of affected me mentally. I remember when I was graduating from school. In fact, at some point, I thought about changing my course. You know, and it wasn't like my love for computers died. No, it's just you need to have a strong foundation.
Right.
You know, so it was hard trying to get back. I had good grades when I was in 300, 400, but because I took in my first, second, you know, year, it was terrible.
Graduation. Let's talk about graduation day. So I know that in most African settings, you know, graduation is a big deal. There's a party. But I know that you were not especially happy with your results. So did you still have a graduation party?
Actually, I didn't attend my own graduation. I was that ashamed.
Oh.
I took a flight to Benin for the graduation, but I never attended. I just watched from afar.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes. See, it affected me that much because I blamed myself. I thought to myself, you could have done better than what you did. In fact, at some point, my professors in school called me and said, what's your problem? We know you contribute in class. You seem to have good things to say in class and everything. You don't forget stuff. So what happens when you get in the exam, or is it that you forget everything you studied or?
Right. And how did your family take it?
To be honest, I kind of lied my way around it. I just told them, you know, like the professors failed me. They did this and they did that. And, you know, it was easy to do that because my parents didn't really have any experience with education or anything like that. You know, so it was easy to lie my way out of it. And looking back now, I mean, I'm not proud of it, but I have grown so much and learned so much. And, you know, just I can only thank God for where I am right now.
Right. You will be surprised at how many people actually have similar stories. I mean, when I was graduating, I remember people who would tell their parents that I'm graduating, right? And their parents would get ready, come to school. Then I also realized that it's a difficult conversation to have.
It's very difficult.
It's hard to announce.
Yes.
After you graduated, you know, last week we talked about the NYC National Youth Service Scheme, where every Nigerian graduate kind of has to serve the country for a year. So did you get to do that?
Yes, I did my NYSC in Akwa Ibom, Ekene. And honestly, I loved it because a service year for me was, I got to meet so many people, learned a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was posted to a school in Ekene.
Okay.
And I got to teach the students computer science.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I mean, it was fun because seeing that these kids didn't even know anything at all about computers and, you know, they were already in like SS3. I was like, so what have they been teaching you?
Mm-hmm.
What have they been teaching you in school? So, you know, it was enlightening seeing the lifestyle of other people. And I was just grateful. I was like, thank God, I think I have it better.
Right.
You know, than some of these kids.
Okay, so your NYSC experience was positive. Okay, so when the 1 year of NYSC was done, what happened next?
So after NYSC, I tried for a few months to look for a job. In my mind, I already wrote myself off. I just said, you know what, nobody's going to stay to podcast, especially not banks. And you know, banks was like the only thing.
The only, yes.
Yeah, like if you're working in a bank, you are everything in Nigeria. So I don't know about now, but back then, that was it. Right? And my story was kind of funny because, you know, I didn't even think I was going to get a job in a bank. I wasn't even looking actively like that. It was my best friend in school that said, you know how much we pay to go to school in Virginia, and you're just going to throw everything away and not try.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied to UBA. My sister was working at UBA then, and she tried to help me get in, but they were just like, oh, if you have a third class, this interview is not for you. I mean, I didn't really have good experiences, so I just gave up. And my friend opened this email for me with my first name and my last name, and she started sending out applications and my resume to so many companies. I didn't even know she
Wow. What is your friend's name?
Her name is Jumoke, and she actually just finished her PhD in China.
That's awesome. Well, she's a really good friend. Go on.
Yeah, so Jumoke helped me. She sent out so many applications. And to my surprise, Union Bank emailed me to come for aptitude test. Then, you know, that's what you do before you get in for the interview.
Right.
I was late to the aptitude test because there was so much traffic. You know, before I got the call, I was already working with my mom at the shop. My mom has a couple of stores in Lagos Island selling, you know, fashion items.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was already like, no, well, I'll just go do business with my mom.
Okay.
So on that day, I was just coming from the store and I was late, but somehow I got it done and I was able to pass the aptitude test.
Okay.
And then about 1 month later, I was in Thailand with my mom. We went to get some goods.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an email from Union Bank saying I'd been invited for an interview. I told my mom, I said, you know what, I have to change. This thing is starting to look like my work. I have to change my ticket and go back to Nigeria as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I changed my ticket, went back to Nigeria and attended the interview.
Okay.
So the interview, I was telling them, I said, I work in Lagos Island where we have all these rich Lagos Island women. So I'm going to bring you customers.
Right. You're selling yourself.
I was even selling myself to a market that, you know, I was like, I graduated with a third class and I don't have any certifications whatsoever. Who's going to put you in an IT department?
Right.
I did the interview and to my surprise, they called me and said, been invited for a 2 weeks orientation training, and then after that we're going to give you an offer. I was like, okay, that is good news. I was so happy, honestly, because I didn't even think I was going to get a job in the bank.
Wow, so you ended up getting the job, and how long did you work at the bank?
I worked at the bank for 3 years and 2 months. You know, when they were hosting us, you know, everyone that came for the orientation to different units, I honestly thought I was going to hear Omolola Tolani, marketing, or show state, or some, village somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had Amolala Akolani, IT department, head office.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay.
Wow. How many years after you had graduated?
This was a year and a few months after NYSC. So, like, say 3 years after graduation.
And do you remember how much your first paycheck was?
120-something thousand, I think.
Naira.
Yeah.
right.
Yes, Naira, definitely.
Okay. Yes.
So, and at that time, you're a big girl. If you already remember that, working in a bank in Nigeria, it was everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living with my parents. So, you know, as I get money, buy human air, shop, you know, live the regular banker life. And, you know, everything was going great until, you know, I had some experiences in the bank.
Right. Okay. So I know now that you're now in the United States and there were a series of events that led to you migrating to America. So what year did you come to America?
I came here 2016, January.
And what happened at the bank? Like, why did you decide that it was time to move?
Okay. So at the time that I got into UN Bank, UN Bank was in the process of rebranding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they had a lot of IT projects going on, all kinds of projects actually going on. So I was lucky to be involved in this project. I mean, they really helped me in terms of getting work experience. And it was during this experience that I started to notice that I just wanted more. I mean, I remember this lady, her name is Tom, and she was a project manager. And I just looked at this lady, I think there was another lady, Nena. I mean, they come to work and they just take charge of everything.
Mm-hmm.
They host project meetings and just hearing them.
You just knew you wanted more.
Exactly. You just kind of spoke to me and I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be, you know, a people person. I loved my job because at that time, I loved it because it helped me to offer solutions to internal customers, but it wasn't everything I wanted because it was monotonous. It came to work and
you were not challenged.
Exactly. And the work ethic, I'm sorry to say, was zero. I mean, it was, you know, your managers didn't listen to your ideas. They would just tell you off. And people, the way they talked to you was just, oh man, it was, I wanted more. And I told myself, see, for you to get this more that you're talking about, you need to go back to school and give yourself another chance to do it right.
Right. So these two ladies served as role models to you, even though they had no idea that they were doing that. I think that's really, really, that's really, really important. And so you moved to the U.S. for school.
Yes, I moved to do my master's at Bowie State University. It's in Maryland.
Coming from Nigeria, what was that like for you?
It was hard. It was very tough because, one thing, because of the money. And because I knew absolutely no one when I was coming here. Like, absolutely no one.
Right.
I only had one person I was chatting with on Facebook, which is how I got to find out about the school.
Right.
And it was only this Facebook friend that I knew in the whole of the United States. I didn't know anybody else. It was tough because, you know, finding a place to stay, housing, you know, is expensive in this country, you know, so I had to, like, rack up all my savings, call my family. I'm so grateful for my family, honestly, because they didn't even discourage me and say, oh, do you know how much it is to go to school in the U.S.? They just want to ask you, how much do you have? How can you help? What can
you? Wow. Wow.
That takes a village. A huge role in my life, honestly. And they believed in me. That was very important to me because I'm like, please, there has to be something these people are saying to
you. You had a really good support system. I can see that played a huge role in your doing well in America. Okay, so what did you study at Bowie State University?
I studied Management Information Systems.
So this time around, you know, you were in a different country. You were studying something also related to computing. How was school for you this time around? Was it difficult or was it easier?
Oh, it was easier, and I absolutely loved school this time. In a way, I'll say it was a bit easier because I had gotten some experience from the UN Bank. So I was already in the field. I already knew about some of these things they were talking about in class.
Right.
So it was easier. It was easy to love. And just thinking about the end goal, what I wanted to do at the end of school, getting that dream job, it just kind of made me happy going to school every time. I did what I had to do, did my assignments, my discussion, And you know, school was really good because I got a full scholarship, and that helped me a lot.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That was your dream, you know, to be in computing. And so you never really left this dream. Do you think that your failures earlier in life prepared you for this moment where you're in a different country, you're studying something that you really, really like, but you're doing way better than you did
before? It did. The failures helped me because now, you know, going back, I knew what I didn't want to be. You know, I knew I didn't want to be as serious. Mm. I knew I didn't want to be distracted in class. Mm. You know, I knew everything I didn't want to be because I had been through it before.
Right, right.
So this kind of motivated me to always go out and get information for myself. Mm. I was vocal in class. I participated in all kinds of competitions and, you know, everything. So yes, it definitely helped me.
So I know now you're graduated, you know, you have a dream job, something that you've always really, really wanted. So I'm really proud of you. Congratulations. Like the day you told me your story, I couldn't get it out of my head. I kept thinking about it like, wow, you know, someone who came from, you know, so much disadvantage. You graduate with a third class. And in my head, I'm like, the only thing I could think about was now world class. From third class to world class, like, this is amazing. Someone needs to hear this, you know? So I'm really excited. I'm super proud of you because you're doing what you love and you're not letting your failures hold you back. You know, you're going for it. And then I feel like a lot of people out there need to hear this because sometimes you're going through something or you're trying at something and you're really, really failing. I feel like your story is serving to motivate a lot of people today. So what would you say to someone who is right now really, really struggling with, say, school, for instance?
Yeah. Okay. So let me first say, you know, you said something about people going through similar things. And it's funny because at some point in my life, I used to roll my eyes at all these motivational quotes and everything. I'm like, please tell us something we don't already know.
Yeah.
But after speaking to some people about my journey, you know, with school, with my career and everything, I realized that there are still so many people out there who are lost and who do not know what to do. And they just need to hear what you've been through to make them stronger.
Right.
So the first thing I'll tell you is to accept yourself. That's the first thing, you know, because going back to my life in the beginning, I didn't accept myself. I just wanted to, you know, one of those rich kids. But the
truth was,
I wasn't
a
rich kid. Exactly. You know, my mom was going to the store every day trying to build a business, and you know, my dad was just doing a small transport business. So it was, you know, I wanted to fit in so much, you know, and now I feel like if I had gotten someone to tell me the things that I know now, it would have helped me a lot. So the first thing is accept yourself. Just be comfortable with who you are, with your background. Just, you know, accept yourself. It's very important. It's key, you know, accept yourself. And the second thing is to believe in yourself.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of people believe in me, but I used to look at myself like, I think I'm smart. But I'm actually that smart. You know, or like these people look at me like I can do all these things, you know, but I didn't see myself that way. And it still comes back to accepting yourself, you know. So you have to believe that you can actually do it. You have to believe that you can achieve a lot. I mean, we all have brains. We all have, you know, 24 hours in a day. It's up to us to do what we need to do. And also, I would say, try as much as possible to discover who you are, you know, and discover your talent. And that's why I wake up every day happy to go to work.
That's awesome. That is amazing. You know, in summary, what you're saying is you need to really do three things. You need to accept yourself. You need to believe in yourself. And you also need to discover your talents, you guys. This is Diamond. Thank you so, so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you to your parents. I feel like, you know, while you couldn't even see, you know, who you really, really were, people were out there telling you that you have it. And I think that's super important. Like, sometimes we're not even able to see for ourselves, you know, what we can be. But if we have people around us that constantly remind us that we can do better, I feel like that is everything. So I think that your parents, your friends, even your bosses.
One last thing. So here's the thing. You need to always surround yourself with people of like mind. You know, people who can motivate you. People who have been through some of the things that you are going through and overcame those things. You need to be around them because their stories will motivate you and, you know, just push you to do better and want to be better. Right.
So choose your friends wisely.
Right.
In other words,
yes. Right.
Pearls of wisdom. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm really excited, and now I really want to see where you go from here. So I'll be looking out for you, rooting for you, hoping and praying that all your dreams are achieved and you continue to be an inspiration to people who are looking up to you.
Amen.
So I have one last question for you. Are you single? Are you married? You know, like, tell our listeners, you know, only if you want to share.
Yeah, actually, I'm single right now.
Okay. All right. So we're also going to be looking out in that direction. You know, the way that I found, you know, when I went to your page, I saw graduation pictures. Who knows what I'm going to find next? So I'm really excited.
Alrighty, yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for
thank
sharing
you
your story.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure.
Mm. Alrighty, guys, you guys have heard it all from Omolola Atoni sharing her beautiful story, and I hope you guys have learned a few things from this.
So if you have questions, if you have comments, please go ahead and visit my website, talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com, or you can visit my social media pages on Facebook and Instagram, African Princess in America.
Have a great rest of the week. Bye-bye.
Do you know that you can support this podcast with a small monthly contribution, as little as a dollar every month? If you'd like to do so, please visit our website at www.talesofanafricanprincessinamerica.com. Thank you.